The news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The back-to-school series is continuing. We talked to local leaders in education around Douglas County. Had a lot of superintendents on. Another one today, but a slightly different situation. It's the Douglas Education Service District Superintendent Annalicia Nicholson. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here.
So explain, because a lot of people really don't know, if they're not tied to education in some way, what an education service district is all about in general.
Yeah, I like to think of us as a regional education office. We are here, we serve 13 component school districts in Douglas County. So everybody, with the exception of Reedsport, they're served by another ESD. And our motto is to provide services, high quality services, to districts to make them more effective in serving children in gen ed. Most of our services are special education, administrative services, really just to help and support some of the most vulnerable children in our community.
So how long have ESDs been around in Oregon? I mean, going way back, I imagine.
Way back, yeah. We have a plaque that I think goes back about 100 years, so.
Wow. And I guess the idea was back then that especially for certain things, it was more efficient to provide these services that way than asking, especially some of the very small districts, to staff things where maybe they'd only have a slight need.
Yeah, so one of our largest service that we provide to districts is speech-language pathology therapy, so for students with communication disorders. And yeah, a small district might have just a handful of kids, and so we provide like a consortium so that we can get high-quality professionals to these students to help support them with their learning needs. Our primary goal is that kids access learning. So that's just one example of being able to work together to provide that service to kids.
Now, with Douglas ESD, your footprint goes farther beyond. Is that normal for ESDs to serve such a wide geographic area?
For a few of us, it is. We extend beyond our boundaries in early learning services. So we support early intervention, early childhood education services in Jackson County. And then our early South Central Early Learning Hub supports both Douglas Lake and Klamath counties.
And so are those staff then in those counties?
Yeah, we have staff across four counties.
Wow, so that's a lot to keep track of.
Yes, yeah. Well, and there's about 42 buildings in this county. So, yeah, we've got staff a lot of places, but they're good people and they do good work.
So tell us a little bit about your background in education and other things you've done.
Sure. I've been in education for 16 years. I started out as a health teacher and worked in a small district in our community, and then transitioned to the ESD and have been supporting teachers with coaching and, implementation of curriculum and things like that throughout the years, and just been growing in my professional career.
What was it about education that got you interested in that for a career path?
My mother was a teacher. And so I've been around educators my entire life. I really like learning. I never intended to be a teacher, but life happened. And I loved health, and I wanted to be on the preventative side. And so being a health teacher felt like a great way to connect with kids. It was a little bit of a journey that I didn't think I was going to take in life.
Now, you've led the ESD for just over a year, right?
Correct.
And how's that first year go?
It was good. We're an organization that has grown significantly over the past 10 years, especially expanding our early learning services. For me as a leader, I've been in the K-12 gen ed world and a little bit of early learning. It was great for me to just connect and learn more about all of the services that we provide, and just deepen that knowledge, and also just get to be the storyteller in the community about the great work and services that we offer to kids.
So how many staff do you have at ESD?
We have 350.
and you've got to manage all that.
Well, I have a great team around me, and a great leadership team, and a great team of folks who help us get things done every single day. But yeah, we've gotten much bigger in the last few years, which is fun.
Now, you've got to multiple locations just for offices and such in Roseburg. Where are all of those right now?
Part of our staff is housed at the library in partnership with the library, which is a wonderful opportunity for kids and just being able to partner with them. Our other location is on Stephen Street. And it's our Early Learning Parent Resource Center. We're super proud of this center. It's a place where our early intervention, early childhood students get to come for eligibility meetings, and we also have a parent resource center there for parents that they can access if they want support or, you know, just someone to chat with about the fun of being a parent.
And that facility underwent a pretty big change, right?
Yeah, we renovated it. Gosh, I think we finished almost 2 years ago. So many people probably in this community know it as an old grocery store. And then we were in it for many, many years, and recently were able to repurpose it for our early learning services. And it's been quite fun to watch that happen.
And what was a year or so of construction like? What did you have to do to manage that?
Well, it happened during the pandemic, so we were able to transition some of our staff. We leased a building, and then some of our staff were working remote, and we had a great construction crew and got the project done. But, yeah, it was... I think because we had already learned how to adjust to a remote workforce, we made it work.
So how did this school year start out for your organization? How do you feel like it went?
Good. I think I always enjoy September because kids are excited to come back to work, and our staff comes in super energized. Actually, about a third of our staff work year-round. So, but it's always fun when our halls get busy with folks' ideas about how to serve kids to the best of our ability and how to serve our schools.
So how many staff did you have to hire this year?
I think in the last year we've hired around 50, and most of those are, you know, replacing. But we got a school-based mental health grant, a federal grant, and we now have 15 folks who are out in schools providing school-based mental health services. And so that was the bulk of our new hires. So.
And do you see that area as being a long-term additional focus now, just given everything that's happened in the last few years?
Absolutely, yeah. Serving our kids holistically is really important, and meeting kids where they are at is really an important thing for kids.
What are some of the things you've seen, although you're in the supervisory role, but just in terms of maybe your staff has talked about with the challenges that kids have coming out of a pandemic?
Much of what you've seen nationally, I think kids are struggling with, you know, reintegration into the world. Kids are really resilient. And I think what our schools do and what our ESD supports is just getting kids, I guess, sort of those services or that that step across, that bridge across to support them. So, yeah, our kids... I think they're honest about how they're feeling, which is really helpful and helps us get better services to them.
Now, for those providers, are they working just with the students at the schools, or does that ever branch out into the students' families?
I think it depends. A lot of what we do is provide a warm handoff for families who may need additional services or referrals for families. But the majority of our work is supporting educators and students.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the Back to School series. And Alicia Nicholson of the Douglas Education Service District. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. The Back to School series continues tomorrow. Don Wensley, Superintendent and Principal at Camas Valley Charter School, will be in with us. And Alicia Nicholson of the Douglas Education Service District talking about the work of ESD and all the many services they provide. You talk about the footprint here, and so many different counties are like in a more of a metro area situation. Do you still have the ESDs up there and serving places like Portland?
Yeah. There's 19 ESDs across the state of Oregon, and they all vary in size based on the student population that they serve. So, I mean, there's ESDs in the Portland area that go from, you know, Hillsboro to Astoria. And then there's ESDs that, you know, are primary services in just, you know, Portland and the surrounding districts. So we look, our phrase is, if you've met one ESD, you've met one ESD.
You talked about hiring around 50 people in the course of the last year. Are you concerned about the trend nationally of less people getting into the field of education?
Absolutely. It's we want the highest quality educators, therapists, early learning specialists working with our kids. We want the best talent in our community working with our kids. So we're always, you know, trying to recruit and retain folks into the career. And we offer various services to support new teachers and new administrators in our county. So we're doing all that we can to bring people in. But if anyone's interested, please reach out. We'd happily get you in connection with services.
And I know that this probably applies to ESD as well. After some changes a few years ago, there's kind of different pathways into this versus the traditional four-year degree first from a higher education institution.
Yeah, there's pathways, you know, for like CTE teachers where you look at their industry experience and then focus on the educational course requirements. There's pathways for folks who have bachelor's degrees and can teach and go to school. So that's been the nice thing, is just creating more paths, especially in a rural area like ours where we don't have a four-year university. It's really important that we have multiple pathways for folks to earn that, because what we know is people want to stay here, they want to live here, their kids are here, their families here, their support systems here. So finding ways to support, that's huge.
What about for people outside the area when you're recruiting folks? Do you get a bit of a pushback at all about coming to a smaller area?
I always just say, look at this place. It's beautiful. So, you know, if people are, you know, interested in hiking and all of the outdoors that this beautiful area offers, it's usually an easy sell. I think there's something lovely about our smaller school districts and our small community and just the ability to get in and build your culture and connect with folks. So if people are interested, they'll come and they'll stay.
Now, for education service districts, how are they funded?
We are funded similar to school districts. We are part of the state school fund and property taxes. The majority of our funding at this ESD comes from state contracts for early. The biggest one is early intervention, early childhood education. So we look at services needed in our area and take on additional contracts to support our kids.
And has that been a pretty consistent level of support, or do you ever get worried about a funding stream drying up?
Yeah, I mean, like school districts, we ebb and flow with the state economy and the national economy, because we have both state and federal and local funds. So yeah, we very much keep an eye on how the forecast looks for education. And sometimes some grants that we have are really only intended to go for a few years. And we're usually aware of that when we make plans and figure out if we can sustain that service, how we'll do it.
Now, you've talked about being in education for 16 years. What are some of the changes you've seen during your time as an educator?
Technology. just the amount of technology in our classrooms, which makes sense. We, you know, I'm looking at three monitors right now. Like, it's everywhere we are, and that's a tool for kids to learn. The ESD manages IT services, and, you know, we have, you know, students have one-to-one devices rather than computer labs. That's a huge change in the last 16 years. So that's been a huge shift. And I think also just we have better science around teaching and how kids learn, which has been super exciting because we can create better engagement and strategies and especially around literacy and math and just really get kids learning and connected.
Now, with the technology, that gives you faster connection points to a lot of things and the ability to, as we saw during the pandemic, even, you know, link in with folks on Zoom or some other platform and do some instruction that way, or maybe even as a special guest speaker, things like that. Do you ever see any disadvantages, though, to all this technology?
I always think sitting with people and talking and learning is awesome. So I think it's a balance, right? There's so much information to be consumed and at kids' fingertips, but I think the critical thinking comes from those class discussions and those group discussions, and that's really a powerful learning experience for kids. So I think it's just, it's like with anything, you can't have too much, can't have too little, you have to have a nice balance.
And for the IT part, do you, you know, having the, all the IT folks that are working with different districts and everything, that's a bit of an awesome, awesome isn't the word I was looking for, kind of a huge responsibility to be tasked with keeping all these things working.
Yeah, we've got a great IT staff, really fortunate, and they do amazing job because they're supporting, you know, teachers and their devices, students and their devices, plus, you know, all of the servers and things like that behind the scenes and new software. So, yeah, it's a big job, and they do an amazing job of managing that so kids have access and teachers have access to what they need every day.
And even sometimes we see different organizations or even state agencies and all of that with dealing with cyber attacks, and you realize really quickly if you're ever caught in one of them just how quickly you can't get anything done.
Yeah, I mean, when the internet breaks, you realize how important they are. So, yeah, they play a really critical role in our school system, and one that I think about often, and their importance of just keeping schools flowing and the information flowing that schools need to teach every day.
So you've got a board. Talk about their role and some of the things they work on.
Yeah, I have a 7-member board, representative of folks from across the county. Terrific board. Their governance is the same as school boards, you know, to set the vision and the goals for our ESD and also establish policies.
And how long have some of those people been involved?
I think our longest serving board member is around 20 years. So we have two brand new members and then folks from various spots in between. So,
and do you feel like you've got a good cross-section of folks in terms of background and knowledge areas?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, our board represents different occupations and roles across our county. So I think they do a lovely job of representing the needs of ESDs and those the 13,000 kids we're charged with supporting.
So do you see any new things on the horizon for Douglas ESD?
I think right now we're just really trying to look at our current programming and enhance it, make it more effective, more efficient, and just really look at our end users, our kids, our in our schools, and in our early learning sector, our community partners and families, and just listen and respond. What is it that they need? What needs to be looked different? What are we doing really well? And celebrate that. So right now we're just kind of looking at what we have and making sure all that works.
Ann Alicia Nicholson, Superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.